2 weeks ago, I preached a message on forgetting what is behind. Y'all was here, remember that message? And how that Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, well, one thing I do, Paul says. He says, but one thing I do, I forget what lies behind, and I reach forward to what lies ahead. And Paul says, you know, I refuse to look behind me at my past. The word forgetting, we learned that day, means to cease to be affected by. He said, whatever happened back then, I'm going to not let it affect my life now. So he said, I'm not going to let the rest of my life be defined by my past. Amen. And what happened in my past. Amen? So I am more than what was. Amen? And in order to go forward to that which Christ has called me to, Paul said, I've got to forget what was back there. I forgot what I used to be, what I used to do, what I did to people, what people did to me. He said, I got to forget all about that. I got to get to the place where it's not affecting me, forgetting it. And so there was a movie last year called Frozen. If you're parents of younger children, Bethany, I'm sure that you can remember this movie. I've never watched it. But there, I did hear the lyrics to that song, and it kept playing over in my head, and I thought, that would make a good message. Let it go, let it go. And the lyrics was, let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Turn away and slam that door. I don't care what they're going to say. Let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway. Let it go, let it go. Amen. We need to slam the door to our past and let it go. Amen. Amen. So let the storm rage on. The cold never bothered me anyway. Let it know. You know, one thing in life I found out when I really let go of the past, and I knew that I had let go of it, because times in our life, our past wants to raise an ugly head and try to condemn us and put us down. But when you know, when you just begin to keep turning it over to God, turning it over to God, what begins to happen was you'll be like Paul. You'll really start forgetting it. And when you know that you've let it go and you're forgetting about it, it's when that ugly head of the enemy raises up through other people or situations or whatever, it doesn't bother you anymore. Anybody get that? It ceases to affect you. It ceases to, you're like, oh, okay. And you just keep on living life. That's when you know that you're letting the past go. That is when you know you're letting the past go. That when things begin to come up, it doesn't affect you like it used to. Amen? So change is happening. Will happen, bound to happen. And we need to make a decision to be part of it, not a problem to it. Because when you really look at it, the face in the glass that stares back at you every morning is your biggest problem. It took me a while to realize that when I got beside myself and out of my way and let God and let go, things really began to happen. So we'll never get from point A to point B in our life if we don't embrace change. Change is given in our lives, in our families, in our communities, our church, and in our nation. And if you don't believe that change really rears its people really rears their ugly head at change, you've been hid behind the woods and never watched the news. Because this nation is in total rebellion simply because of change. Somebody new come in office, and I'm, you know, and not political, but seeing a whole bunch of stuff that needed to be changed, and the nation's gone crazy. So because change causes things to be different for it to be better, it causes you to look at things from a different perspective. So we're going to be looking at Israel, a time in Israel when Israel was wandering in the wilderness, moving away from Egypt where they were enslaved, moving on toward the promised land. So we pick up the story in Numbers. The Israelites are right smack dab in the middle of some great big changes. They had been poured under generations. Let me go back and let me give you some definitions first, because I've got a little ahead of myself here. Letting, when we talk about letting, it means to allow, agree, or permit. We need the gift of letting go. Amen? We need the gift of letting go. Because we as humans like to hold on to things even if it's not for our betterment, even if it's not for our good. Why? Because it's familiar. Even if it's causing us pain, even if it's causing us misery, it's familiar to us, bless God, and we're not about to let it go. We'll just sulk in our own misery. So, but we've got to get to the place where we allow ourselves and permit ourselves to be happy, allow ourselves and permit ourselves to do what the Word says to do, that whom the Son sets free is really free indeed. Amen. You've got to allow yourself that it's okay to be happy, it's okay to live life, and it's okay to laugh at yourself, and it's okay. Letting, that's what letting means, because you are too blessed to be stressed, as they say. So I want you to do something. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them that they need to let it go. Go ahead. You need to let that thing go. Amen. You've held on to it long enough. Go ahead and tell them it's okay. They're a Christian. They can't get mad at you. You're just prophesying to them. Okay? You say, you need to let that thing go. Amen. You've held on to it long enough. Turn around and slam the door. Say amen. I hear the chains breaking this morning. I've heard chains breaking this morning. The gift of letting go, setting people free. And like I said about change, you know, we've heard that nothing is certain this life with death and taxes, but there is something that's certain also, and that's change. And we either can embrace it, amen, and go with it, or like I said a while ago, be the problem of that change. So Israel was right smack dab in the middle of some great big changes. They had at this point spent generation under Pharaoh's thumb of enslavement. This generation of people had known nothing but slavery. But now they find themselves in the wilderness. Wilderness meaning wasteland. It means desert. It means rough. It means dry. It means barren, no water. So they were led out of Egypt by Moses with the power of God. So now they're quickly approaching the land of promise to them, to their ancestors, the promised land that God said was theirs. And you go back and you begin to study that over and over again. He had to reaffirm that promise to them, even in their rebellion. Amen. So, but before they entered the promised land, in Numbers chapter 13, the Lord spoke to Moses and he said, send men out to spy the land of Canaan. Now listen to this. Send the men out to spy the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the sons of Israel. So Moses sent them from the wilderness. So you know the story. You go back and read it, how he sent out the spies to bring back the report of what they found in the land of promise. He said, this is a land flowing with milk and honey, they came back and said. But there is more there. There's also a land inhabited by the other, you know, and I'm paraphrasing this, them Ites people, them Nites people, them, you know, them Jebusites and, yeah, Canaanites and Hittites. There's always time to get people in trouble. The Israelites were intimidated by them, so they began to spread rumors among the people. It's occupied by giants. We can't go in there, even though they knew that it was God's promised land to them. Even they came back and said, the land is flourishing. They chose to look at what they could not do instead of what God had promised them. That was theirs. It was time for change. In Numbers 14, the people then began to weep, moan, and cry out to God. You brought us here to die. You brought us here to leave us and to forsake us. Forget not, you know, they forgot all about what God had promised them. But now they could return to Egypt, the wilderness, desolate, rough country, dry or barren. They began to work on a solution, not on how they will overcome those supposed giants that they had seen. But they were working on a solution on how to get back to Egypt, the land that God had delivered them from that they were enslaved in. They were willing to stay in the desert, the dry, desolate, no water, barren place, instead of going with the change that God said was theirs in order to get to the promised land. They had rather continue to be in slavery than to enter what God had promised them. Why? Because it was familiar to them. It was what they knew. You know, the message today is more than just forgetting. It's more than just about letting go. But what is the motivating factor behind why we don't let go? And that motivating factor is fear. The motivating factor of why we cannot let go is fear, because fear is the unknown. In this story, I see my life not as much now like it used to be, because I am growing and I'm maturing. God, still like a long ways to go. But I see it in the lives of people I meet and talk to every day. I see it in some of your lives, how we hold on to what God has said, let go, there is better. When we are faced with significant changes in our lives, we cannot be certain of the process of the change or the outcome, so then we back away from it because we are a people that like to be in control. When we go, we want to know how we're going to get there, how long it's going to take us to get there, who we're going to see before we get there, where we're going to stay before we get there. So but we bring that over into our lives. And said, I know I need to change. God is saying change, but God, I need to know how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, how you're going to give me the help to do it, when are we going to do it, what do I need to do it? And instead of just saying, okay, God, let's embrace it and let's go with it, because it's called trust. It's called trust. That is where trust comes in. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your insight or your own understanding. In all your ways, not just what you pick and choose, but he said in all of your ways, acknowledge, recognize God. Then when we do that, when we begin to embrace that change, and we begin to do this, what Proverbs says, it doesn't matter how the journey goes because we know that God is with us. Amen. And he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. And even though we have the promise of the Word of God, even though we have been given a glimpse of the promised land in our lives, the promises of God, we, like the children of Israel, are afraid sometimes. Afraid of change. Because we don't know what it's all going to involve. Like I said, the past is familiar. It becomes our comfort zone. So we actually choose to live in the wilderness of life because of fear instead of the promised land of God's blessings and promises. People had rather be enslaved to drugs and pornography and all of this stuff because they're not willing to get away from that which is familiar, to that which is unfamiliar, which is God's blessings. That's sad. That's sad for me because I look back at my own life when I used to be that way. But thank God none of us were where we used to be if we are allowing the Word to change us. Amen. So fear. Number one. So let's look back at the Israelites in the wilderness and how destructive, I want you to understand how destructive fear can be and keep you bound to where you are at when God says it's more. Number one, fear blinds them to God's leading and God's promises. So when you are operating out of fear, you can't hear God. You can't see what God's doing. Number two, fear changes the wonderful gift of the land into a place of death. So when you're stuck in that spirit of fear, and it is a spirit, so it has to be handled spiritually because fleshly things can't be handled by fleshly means. It has to be handled by the Spirit and the Word of God. Amen? So it changes the wonderful gift of the land into a place of death. Because you've sensed that God is saying, change, it's time to move on. This is what I want for you. But because you are choosing to stay stuck because of fear, those promises begin to grow dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and they don't look as bright as they used to. And number three, fear transforms other humans, the Canaanites and others in the land, into monsters. And that's what happens with fear in our life. Fear will cause us to see things that are not really there. It's like, you know, when you were a child and you thought there was monsters under your bed. There were no monsters under your bed, but you were imagining they were because of your fear. And that's what happens in our life. When they saw the Canaanites and all the ites and nights and heights, they was like, these people are giant in our eyes, they said. God said, this is where I want you to be. He showed them the promise, but he also showed them the giant. But because of the fear of change, they would not allow themselves to quit looking at the obstacles and realize that if God said it was theirs, he was going to make a way for them to get there and to overcome when they got there. Amen? So fear will cause you to see things in a different perspective. But I've got news, good news for you today. In each one of these, trust God. Because faith, this is the good news, faith will cause you to see things in a different perspective also. Amen? Now, if you're operating in fear, you're going to see things outside of the Word of God. But if you're walking in faith and seeing things through the eye of faith, it's going to cause you to have a different perspective also. Because fear will cause you to think and to go places you never thought you would go, would do, but faith will cause you to believe, to go places, see things, and do things that you thought you would never could do, that you could never do by the grace of God. Amen? God has the power to defeat, but he needed some give to the Israelites. So we're sitting here holding on to our familiar, even though it's killing us. That toxic relationship is killing us. That bitterness and hatred and strife is killing us, but we're not budging. And God said, I'm the deliverer. I need you to give. And the first part of giving and letting go is surrender. And saying, I don't know how you're going to do it, God, but I surrender. But I surrender. So he doesn't get the first generation that comes out, dies in the wilderness before entering the promised land because they refused to let go of their fear and give it to God. Because they did not want to change. They chose to stay in slavery instead of continuing on to the promised land because they got their eyes on the giants and not the promises of God. And to step out in faith and saying, yeah, there's giants there, but if God says I'm to go there and I'm to change in the process of getting there, then he's going to take care of everything else when I get there. Amen? So it's not just enough to rebuke fear and think it's going away. You can rebuke fear all day, but you've got to get to the root of why you are fearing. You can have a tree or something growing in your yard. You don't like it. It is ugly. It's not in the right place. It don't look good. It doesn't look good where it's at. And you can stand there and just rebuke that tree all day, and that tree's going to be there the next day. You can go out and cut that tree off at ground level. Hallelujah, it's taken care of. I've cut the thing down, and the sun will shine, the rain will come, and the next week it's growing back up. Why? Because you've not dealt with the root. That's why when you come in on Sunday morning, you're in the presence of God. And God's been doing some awesome things. Yes, I've let it go. I've taken care of it. Monday morning, you go out. Oh, somebody says something. And it brings back a memory or something. And you thought I let it go. What is wrong? Why can I not let these things go? Because you've not dealt with the root of fear. And you have to deal with it with the Word of God and what the Word says. And sometimes the first step is forgiving yourself. And saying, you know, I forgive myself for being ugly. I forgive myself for going there in my thinking. I allow myself. I let myself. I give myself permission. I may have been nasty and ugly, but I'm digging the root up. I'm digging that root up, and I'm getting rid of it. Getting rid of it. You know, sometimes we surface cover. We surface cover things to make it look good. And the problem, the situation, the unforgiveness. You know, I go to church every Sunday. I read my word. I do all that. We're surface covering things. When deep inside, we're dying. Because it's you and you alone. You can't get away from your thoughts. And all these people running to different churches, different jobs, trying this and trying that, they're running from themselves. And wherever you go, guess what? You're there. Some wounds have to be debrided before healing can take place. They can't just be covered up. Because when you cover a wound up, that needs to be debreathed. Is it debreathed? Is that how you pronounce it? It will cause you to get a staph infection that will spread throughout your body and kill you. And so many times that's what happens in the body of Christ. We've covered, surface covered things and patted people on the back and said it's going to be okay. Instead of sitting them down and saying, this is the truth of the word. It's like Laverne was telling us Wednesday night. She's very truthful with people. When people come to her and ask for prayer, for blessings, and she'll say, you're living in fornication. You are an adulterer, and you're asking God for me to bless you? God doesn't bless sin. So we need to uncover the surface. Find out what the root problem is. Listen to what the word debris means. It's the removal of dirt, foreign objects, damaged tissue, and cellular debris from a wound or a burn to prevent infection and to promote healing. In treating a wound, debridement is the first step in cleansing. The Bible says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing down even to the soul. Church is a good place for people to hide out. But I thank God He loves us enough to find us. Even in the midst of church, He loves us enough to find us and says, you know, you've got some things going on. We need to uncover that surface. Let my word get in there. And when God begins to deliver you and set you free of stuff, I'm here, it's not easy. It hurts. You will get mad at God, everybody else around you. But it must take place before change can take place in your life. And sometimes it's not easy. So let it go and let the healing take place. And just as God needed a little help from the Israelites, just a little gift from them, I should say, because God really doesn't need any help. He just needs us to surrender and trust Him. Amen? But instead of holding on, we needed to let go. And that's part of give God from the Israelites. He needed them to give, so He needed a little giving from them. You want to be free? Let go. We serve a God of life, church. But we cannot experience that life if all we have, hang on to everything that we need to let go of. And in order to experience a life worth living, we must let go of our fears, let go of our hang-ups, let go of all the excuses why and how we cannot change. We must let go of the toxic relationships, let go of unforgiveness, let go of the strife and bitterness. Fear will cause you to hold on things. Like I said before, fear will cause you to do things that you thought you would never do because you're operating out of that spirit. But the word says that God's not giving you a spirit of fear. But He has given you a spirit of love. And He has given you a spirit of a sound mind. But trust, faith in God will cause you to let go of things that are holding you back. Faith will cause you to believe that things are true if it's in the Word. Faith will cause you to go places and do things that you thought you would never do. Letting go slams the door in the past and opens the door to the future. Because whatever is behind the slammed door, don't go there and try to bring it out. But walk into the open door that God has set before you. So my challenge to you this morning, are you willing to go in to your relationship with God just a little bit further, where you've never been before? Totally reckless abandonment to God. When God says, go, do, or whatever, no question. Okay, let's go. That's called trust, and that's called total surrender. Amen? It's God nudging you to let go. Dig up the root of that thing, and let God heal the wound of your past so you can go through the door of better things. You read the article this morning that I wrote in the Sunday handout. I began to remember as a little girl going to school, they had a monkey bar. And I was always attracted to that thing. But as, like I said in the Sunday handout, as a little girl, that bar from there to there was a long way. You know, when you're in kindergarten and first grade, that bar is a long way. But I would go out on the playground every day and I'd want to do, master that monkey bar. First 2 or 3 years of school, I couldn't do it because I didn't have enough strength. But every year when I'd go back, I would do it again. And I would do it again. I would fall, get up. I didn't know it then. I would always go back to the first bar and start all over. But that's not the way it is in life. If you fall down, just get up where you're at. You don't have to go back and start over. But pretty soon, by the time I was in the third, fourth grade, I mastered that thing. I challenged everybody on the playground that I could go across that monkey bar faster than they could. And I finally got it mastered. And that's the way it is with life. The monkey bars of life. Trust yourself enough. Trust God enough. Trust the God in you enough that when he says to let go, because you couldn't get from one bar to the next unless you let go. Yeah, I fell down a lot. But every year I was gaining more and more strength. Each year I was mastering on how to do it more and more because I practiced it. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. It's the same thing with the promises of God. You know, at first you may think that's impossible, but you keep practicing. It's okay. Keep practicing the Word. Keep reading the Word. Keep letting it go. And pretty soon, you'll master the monkey bar of life. Because there's a God that's bigger in you than any monkey bar of life that you're trying to cross. You're going to fall down and you're going to skin your knees from time to time. But God said, if you'll trust me, I'll direct your paths. And I will move any obstacles that are in your way. And as I was preparing this message, I was thinking of the Hoarders show that I watch on TV sometimes. And how those people just hoard and hoard and hoard things until they cannot even walk through their house because they will not let go of anything. You've got to determine what's of value to you. Is your value of your relationship wanting to go further and further in your relationship with God? Is your value storing things up in your mind, forgiveness, under bitterness, not letting go, toxic relationship and all those things, until finally you've got so much in your life that you're tripping up? Some of these people can't even walk through their house because they have so much stuff. Sometimes that's the way it is in our mind. We've become hoarders with things in our life that God is saying let go of. And then we try to live life and we wonder why we're tripping up all the time. When our mind is so much of stuff that God says, let's go. Let it go. Slam the door to the past. Slam the door to the past. Stand to your feet this morning. Father, we thank you for your visitation today. We're so looking forward to the testimonies in the next hours, next day, next few weeks of people coming and saying, wow, this is what God did for me. And we ask you today, Father, Holy Ghost, that you would take your searchlight and that you would search the intents of our heart. And even in the wanting of letting go of things that we want to hold on to, that we think that has value and that, you know, all of those things. Lord, just we thank you for the strength to let those things go, that we can step into the new. Because change, in order for betterment, change has to take place. In order for things to be different, change has to change. And oh Father, we don't want the rebellion of the world to come into our lives and into our churches that saying this is how I am and I'm not going to be moved. We take authority over that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. And yeah, we just trust and rely on you, God, as you lead us day by day. And even though change sometimes can be painful, you never lead us, God, where you've not already destined us to go. And that we hear your voice. We know your voice, God. And I just speak that over these people today. As they leave this place, that they have not come like they will not leave like they've come. Thank you, Jesus. Just think about that one thing today that you're having a hard time letting go. And I just want you to put it in your hands. And I just want you to say, God, I give it to you. I'm letting it go. I've held on to this thing long enough, and it has become a hindrance to me. And by faith right now, I just want you to take that, and I just want you to throw it down, and I just want you to stomp on it. In Jesus' name. Help us walk into the future that you have planned for us, God. That we're not defined by our past. But we're defined by what your word says about us and who we are. And Father, I just speak your blessings over these people right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that they are favored of God, that your blessings are running to overtake them, that they are the head and not the tail, and wherever they go this week, that they are a blessing to somebody, that there is so much of Jesus in us and the love of God in us, that it just rubs off on people. And we thank you for that today. And the church said, amen.